Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you on this edition. If you have something you're struggling with, if you have a Bible question you'd like to pose, well, we have an open line for you right now, and that number is 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Call quickly. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about how to stand out as believers of Jesus Christ. And Paul gives so many, you know, positive statements about how we can do that. Mm-hmm. You know, we can walk in love. We can, truly identify with Christ. You know, let's say that he is Lord and really make a proclamation for that, uh-huh. confess that, and those sort of things. But we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 some really good words from the Apostle Paul in this regard. And he starts out in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 with these words, "But I am afraid." Now, you don't think that Paul is going to be afraid of much, but his fear is well grounded here. He says, "I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Mm-hmm. Now, we live in a world today where we are bombarded with all kinds of information, all kinds of different belief systems and different thoughts, and various people who are very persuasive in how they communicate. Mm-hmm. Well, the same was happening back in Corinth, not quite to the extent that it's happening today. I think the internet and just this worldwide communication network that we live in really takes it to, you know, a maximum level as far as all the different messages we receive. But back in that day, towns were places, were hotbeds for people coming through that would put up their philosophies.
Mm-hmm, right.
So Paul went into the city of Corinth, and he explained to them about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that there's no life found outside of Jesus. There's no forgiveness found outside of Jesus. There's no righteousness found outside of Jesus. There's no completeness as a human being outside of Jesus. That Jesus truly is the way, the truth, and the life, and that we can be saved, we can experience the newness of life through his death, burial, and resurrection. So he basically told the story of by grace through faith in Jesus. And he stayed around for a number of weeks in several different cities and other places. He stayed much longer, but he tried to work with the disciples, with the believers there, to make sure that this message was fully ingrained in them, that Christ Jesus had been fully formed in them, that they weren't just giving lip service to this new idea, this new belief system, that they had actually eaten of it and made it a part of who they were, and that they had been added to the body of Christ Jesus. Well, as soon as he would leave those cities, there would be these other, quote, apostles, mm-hmm. and they would present themselves as super apostles. Right. They would come in behind Paul, and they would present some opposing ideas. But they did it with such grace and style and eloquence and all of those things that people would pay attention. Hey, he's saying it with passion. He's saying it as if he really believes it. He's saying it with polish and panache and all of those sort of things. And folks would start listening, and they would start trying to incorporate those ideas and try to mix them with Christianity. So Paul was fearful that once these super apostles would come on the scene, that the true believers might be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Mm-hmm. So that was a legitimate concern that Paul had. It's a legitimate concern that we all should have right now. Why? Because there are many opposing thoughts. There are many anti-Christian messages that are out there, but they are being communicated with a sense of passion, with a sense of power. and it seems to make sense on the surface. And there are many Christians that are being led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And then he goes on and he talks about what that really means, what he's really talking about. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus. So what Paul was saying to the Corinthians and what Paul is saying to us here and now is that there's only one Jesus. Yeah. He's the Jesus of the Bible. He's the Jesus whose story has been being told since the very beginning of time. It's the Jesus whom God the Father has testified about. It's the Jesus that became flesh and blood 2,000 years ago, that was born of a virgin, was born in the town of Bethlehem, escaped to Egypt, and then went to Nazareth and grew up in Nazareth, who started his ministry at the age of 30, who made these preposterous claims, at least from human speaking. He made these preposterous claims that he and the Father were one, that he was equal with God the Father. He died on a Roman cross. He was buried. The third day he was raised back to life, and 40 days later he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father now, and has been, and he is alive. This Jesus is alive. That's the Jesus that Paul proclaimed to these Corinthians. But there were other people coming behind him preaching another Jesus. So he says, how do we distinguish ourselves? Well, we stay devoted to the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus that has been revealed to us through these pages of Scripture. That's the Jesus that we cling to, not some other guy that people were promoting back in that day. And then he says, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received. So when they received the good news of Jesus Christ, they received the Spirit of God. John talks about him in these terms, that he's the Spirit of truth. Now, if you receive another spirit, it's not going to be the Spirit of truth. It's going to be the spirit of lies, the spirit of error. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a counterfeit spirit. So we need to stick with the spirit that God has given us so that we can know the truth about God.
Yeah.
And so that we can grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Spirit of God is going to take the things of the Lord Jesus and make them known unto us. And then he goes on to say, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. So he's saying, hey, you can be led astray from your simple and pure devotion, your sincere and pure devotion to Christ, by entertaining messages that are promoting a different Jesus, that are promoting a different spirit, that are promoting a different gospel.
Yeah.
So we need to make sure that we are standing firm on Jesus Christ. We are standing firm in the fact that we've received the Spirit of truth, and that we are a part of this gospel story of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. There is no other gospel message. If it was another gospel, it would be good news. But there's no other message that contains the good news of the story of Christ. So we need to maintain a strong footing in these three things: the person of Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, and the gospel of Jesus Christ himself, his death, his burial, his resurrection.
Well, thanks for those thoughts, Bob. And you know, friends, Basic Gospel is here every weekday teaching the truth of the love, grace, and life of Jesus. And it's made possible because so many of you are donors. You give to support this message that has resonated with your spirit. So to say thanks for your support in the month of October, we want to send you a copy of Bob's latest CD series. It's called Against the Current, and it can help you see how to stand out in a fallen world. To make your gift, click donate at basicgospel.net. Friends, your generous gift will help bring believers back to Jesus, who is, of course, the way, the truth, and the life. Against the Current, and we would love to send you a copy, so please donate today at basicgospel.net. We would love for you to partner with us. Well, Bob, we had this question from Javier. I don't know exactly what he's getting at, but the question is, does a woman need a man, or does a man need a woman? I think it has something to do with needs.
Yes, indeed. Well, as far as how God designed humanity, he made us male and female. And then at the very beginning, he instituted marriage, and he said that a man will leave his father and his mother, will cleave to his wife, they will become one, and in that marriage relationship, they will serve one another in love. Those are the four pillars of marriage, mm-hmm. the design that God put forth from the very beginning. So leave, you cleave, you join together, you become one flesh, and then you serve one another in love. So to be involved in a marriage, a man needs a woman needs a man.
Yeah.
So, yes, indeed. Now, as far as our completeness as human beings, we need Jesus. We are only made complete through faith in Jesus Christ. We're not going to be made complete in any human relationship. There are many people that think they're going to find happiness, they're going to find ultimate fulfillment in a marriage relationship. And they get married and they find out that it doesn't satisfy the deep needs of the spirit. So they get frustrated, they get fearful that they're never going to be happy or never going to find completeness in life or contentment in life. They get angry over that. They can go down into self-pity and depression and despair because they've looked to marriage to provide something that marriage cannot provide. So if you want to find completeness as a human being, that completeness is only found in Jesus Christ. If you want to satisfy the deep needs of the human spirit, and what are those needs? Those needs are unconditional love, unconditional acceptance, identity, purpose, and destiny. Those are the needs of the spirit, and all those can only be met by a spiritual being. And the only spiritual being is God himself, and he has made himself known in the person of Jesus Christ. So when we turn to Jesus, when we receive Jesus, when we believe Jesus is the source of love, the source of life, and those sorts of things, it says we are made complete in him. Our spirits are made alive. We become fully functioning human beings. Now, what does that do? It frees us to enjoy human relationships in whatever capacity those human relationships are. Mm-hmm. So if it's marriage, then we're free to love our mates or love our wives, love our husbands as we are supposed to. And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking to be complete, it's not going to happen through a male or a female. It's going to happen through Jesus Christ,
yes.
Through trusting in him who is the way, the truth, and the life, and trusting in him who is the light of the world, trusting in him who is the bread of life, the resurrection and the life, the vine, the good shepherd, the gate, trusting in the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we're going to find completeness. That's when we're going to find contentment. That's when we're going to find freedom to express the love of God to others.
Javier, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And if you have further questions, I know that we would love to hear from you again. Just reach out once more. 844-322-2742. We have plenty of open lines right now. And if you're hearing Basic Gospel, you can call right now. Wherever you're listening, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you on this edition. Well, Bob, we had this question from John, who wrote to us through the Basic Gospel app. He says, do we as Christians continually ask for forgiveness, or do we just acknowledge our sinful state and thank God for what he's already done? When Christian writers talk about going to God to ask for forgiveness, are they talking about the unsaved or about all of us? Confusing, or maybe I'm just making it confusing, he says.
Well, here's the good news, and Paul explains this to us in both his letter to the Ephesians and his letter to the Colossians. And in both of those, he makes this statement. So in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 13, and we'll read 13 and 14, he says this: He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom, now in Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So if you're in Christ, what does it say that you have? It says that you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, that's good news. So have you received forgiveness of sins if you are in Christ? Well, yes, you have. So does it make any sense to ask for something that you already have? Absolutely not. And if you do, you know, God isn't going to get mad at you or get angry over that. He's going to point you to the finished work of Jesus Christ. He's going to say, hey, Christ has already dealt with that sin. He already offered his blood as the sacrifice for that sin. And I was satisfied with his sacrifice. So there's nothing more that can be done, or there's nothing more that will be done as far as that particular sin you're worried about right now. So you need to recognize the fact that that's already been taken care of. You need to recognize the fact that when you receive Christ, you receive forgiveness for that sin. And that truth should do something inside of you to the point where you will begin to respond with this attitude of thanksgiving. You'll be able to say to the Lord, thank you that you've dealt with this. And thank you that I have forgiveness of sins. And thank you that I have forgiveness for this particular sin that I was so worried about. So when you ask, God is going to point you to the finished work of Jesus Christ, and he, by his Spirit, is going to confirm in your own mind and your own heart that you already have forgiveness of sins.
Indeed.
So when we sin, I think it's appropriate to say so. Hey, I blew it. I messed up. I hurt my wife. I hurt my kid. I did something to bring harm to another individual. I did it. I sinned. And then when you say that, I think it's appropriate at that point to say, but Lord, thank you that you've already condemned that sin through the death of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Thank you that you accepted his sacrifice on behalf of this sin. And so today I'm thanking you. And then I'm also trusting you to, you know, lead me to make it right with the person that I hurt, whatever that may be, and so that I can be reconciled back to this person.
Yeah.
So I think when we see the truth that in Christ we have forgiveness, that's going to change how we approach God. That's going to give us confidence, and it's going to give us this sense of dependence and saying, Lord, I'm trusting you to make this situation that I messed up over here with this person right, as I trust you to live your life through me.
Good question, John. Thanks for reaching out. And I want to continue to remind you, our listeners, that Bob continues to produce a growing number of just excellent teaching videos, and they're all available free on the Basic Gospel YouTube channel. Topics like how to be saved, how do I walk in the Spirit, and the latest entry is conformed or transformed. Visit any time for encouragement, for clarification, truth about the grace of God in Jesus Christ. You'll find all these excellent videos when you visit basicgospel.net/YouTube. I want to revisit forgiveness just a little bit here, and with this question from James, Bob, he says, tell me how the statement of Jesus to the disciples that if we do not forgive, we are not forgiven. How should that be explained? Is this statement given under the law, a conditional statement, or is it saying that if we do not forgive, it shows that we are not true believers?
Well, I think what he's saying to them, it's part of the Sermon on the Mount, and he's really trying to reveal the heart of man apart from Christ Jesus. And God is interested in the heart. Man looks on the outside. God looks at the heart. And what Jesus was doing was taking a really thorough examination of the heart. And I think when he gets to that prayer, He's saying, Father, forgive as we have forgiven our debtors. And then he goes on to say those very words. If you forgive, then your Father in heaven will forgive you. If you don't forgive, your Father in heaven won't forgive you. Well, those are words before the cross, words to reveal the heart of man, to bring them to a point that says, well, I can't live up to that, so what must I do to be saved? And that's the whole point. God wants to show us what our need is, where we lack, so that we will turn to him in faith and receive the gift of salvation. That's what God was after. That's what Jesus was after in his ministry, is to reveal that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but can be justified freely by the grace of God. So when Jesus died on the cross, God the Father accepted his sacrifice, propitiation took place, and when anybody comes to Christ, calls upon the name of the Lord, they receive eternal life. They receive Jesus, and in receiving Jesus, they receive all these other gifts of grace, forgiveness of sins, they receive redemption, they receive righteousness, they receive holiness, they receive perfection.
A good old shot of grace.
Right. That's exactly right. So we receive all that, and we receive the gift of the Spirit. God's Spirit now lives inside of us, and God's Spirit has poured the love of God into our hearts. Mm-hmm. So now we have what we need to offer forgiveness to somebody who has wronged us.
Yeah.
We didn't have that before. So if we were going to do it, we were going to have to try to muster that up through our own efforts. And we were going to come to the point and say, I don't know if I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want know if I really want to forgive that person. But now we have the love of God in us, and that's the desire. That's the desire of the Spirit. So in Ephesians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 3, we see Paul saying to us that we are to forgive as God in Christ has forgiven us. So there's a difference there.
Yeah.
So Jesus saying through the Lord's Prayer, or after the Lord's Prayer, clarifying what he meant in the statement, if you forgive, God will forgive you. If you don't, God will not forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in light of this new covenant, in light of the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God is saying to us, now that you have the love of God in your heart, forgive as God in Christ has already forgiven you. So you're not forgiving in order to get forgiveness. You are forgiving because in Christ you have already been forgiven.
Yeah.
So it's a different idea, and I think it's the difference between old covenant thinking and new covenant thinking. And the purpose of Jesus was to reveal the true nature of the human heart apart from Christ, and that something needs to change at the heart level before salvation can be made available. And that's what Jesus did. He gives us a new heart when we are saved.
Yeah, absolutely. Great answer, Bob. Usually Andrew Farley joins us on the Wednesday editions. He will be here tomorrow for those of you looking forward to hearing him, and I hope you'll join us then. But thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. If you have Bible questions or if you're struggling with some troublesome issue, tell us about it at 844-322-2742. We'll be glad to discuss it on Basic Gospel. Again, in the U.S. and Canada, that's 844-322-2742. And friends, please remember that your prayers and gifts are what keep Basic Gospel on the air and online. When you make your October gift, we want to send you a copy of our newest resource, Against the Current. Again, you can make your gift now or anytime at basicgospel.net. And thanks to the many of you who faithfully support Basic Gospel every month with your prayers and with your gifts. We love having your partnership, and we covet it going forward. Not supposed to covet, but we really want it going forward, so we hope you will join us. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We're going to see you then. Bye-bye.